Welcome to Health Connections, the show about people, health, and policy. I'm Dr. Carol Myers, a professor in the University of Tennessee College of Nursing and the creator of Health Connections. I am so pleased that Senator Richard Briggs has joined me today for a discussion of current health-related issues in Tennessee. Senator Briggs, a physician and retired Army colonel, represents the 7th District that encompasses parts of Knoxville, including the University of Tennessee, in the Tennessee General Assembly. Welcome again to Health Connections, Dr. Briggs.
Well, I'm very glad to be here.
Well, let's jump right in. We have a lot to talk about. Many Tennessee hospitals, particularly those in rural areas, are vulnerable to the threat of closure. A hospital closure most frequently has a profound and far-reaching impact on the community. Senator Briggs, how has the COVID-19 pandemic affected Tennessee hospitals?
Before the COVID hit, we had so many of our Tennessee hospitals that were in jeopardy. We were the state that had the second most rural hospital close after the state of Texas, and Texas has 4.5 the population that Tennessee does. So this was a serious problem before COVID, and it's become an even more serious problem afterward.
Any discussions about what relief might be on the horizon for our Tennessee hospitals that are in jeopardy?
Well, I think, first of all, when we talk about relief, we have to look at what the unique problems are to the rural hospitals, even compared to our urban hospitals. And one of those is that the rural hospitals have what we call an unfavorable payer mix. In other words, there's a disproportionate number of people who have no insurance at all, disproportionate number of people who may be on Medicaid, and the rural areas have more of the elderly patients who are on Medicare. And if you combine Medicare and Medicaid together, the hospitals only recoup about 90% of their actual cost. So they are at a major disadvantage compared to the urban hospitals just on what we call the payer mix. On top of that, during the COVID crisis, the governor ordered that all non-essential surgeries, all non-essential procedures come to a halt. And as we probably all know, that's where the hospitals and the healthcare facilities can make up their money to cost shift some of those losses that they have because of the no insurance, the Medicare and the Medicaid patients. And in particular, when you stopped the elective procedures that were the moneymakers for the hospitals that we did with COVID, it put them in an even much, much greater jeopardy of not being able to remain financially solvent.
Well, one of the parts of that mix is the folks that have no insurance. Mm-hmm. Some people have touted Medicaid expansion as perhaps offering some protective effect to the hospitals. What are your thoughts on that, Senator Briggs, and what are the prospects in Tennessee?
My thoughts on it, as you know, I have advocated for Medicaid expansion really for a number of years now. And quite frankly, you know, I think it was almost too good of a deal to turn down. We have our Tennessee taxpayers, we send our money to Washington. And what we're trying to do with this is to get some of the money back. And the Medicaid expansion was such a good deal. We send a dollar in and we get $10 back on that. It's so good. In March of this year, the Congress passed the American Relief Plan, and they even put additional enhancements on top of that to where they put an additional 5%, I'm going to call it a bonus or a 5% addition to what we would look at. And we've had some of the nonpartisan think tanks look at this. And we're talking about Tennessee receiving $1 to $1.3 billion for a very, very little investment. And even back when Governor Haslam had his Insure Tennessee plan, the Tennessee Hospital Association at that point had said, we will, through a self-assessment, we'll cover the state of Tennessee's cost on this, so it will not cost the taxpayer of Tennessee a penalty. And that was much of the selling point that Governor Haslam advocated for. It's even better than that now.
Right. And my understanding also is, Senator Briggs, that in states where they look at the budget line item for Medicaid expansion, they more than make up that line cost through mm-hmm. savings in other sectors. And this is shown out in several states that have expanded Medicaid.
You're absolutely right. And, what we've also seen is in the states, there's really only 12 states now that haven't expanded Medicaid. Oklahoma and Missouri are the two newest states that have done that. And they were having problems with rural hospital closures. It just wasn't a problem in Tennessee. But the states that did expand Medicaid, you know, they've really been able to slow that process down. And, you know, we think of maybe healthcare and keeping these hospitals open as always being a healthcare issue. But it's much bigger than that because it's an economic issue. If you look in some of these smaller communities, the hospitals are the economic drivers of the community. Mm-hmm. They may be the best employer of the community, both in numbers and in salaries. On top of that, it can also be a driver of economic recruitment because, our previous commissioner of economic development, he says, I just can't recruit manufacturing companies. I can't recruit businesses to come into our rural areas when the hospitals have closed. And then a third benefit of having a hospital and healthcare in our rural areas is it's also a driver of education in that we have people who will go and get their nursing degrees, respiratory therapy, physical therapy. We'll have physicians move into the community when there's a hospital. We've had a big problem with people leaving the rural communities and going to better paying jobs in the cities. This keeps the people in the rural areas because they now have well-paying jobs in the community.
Hospitals are an essential part of the healthcare delivery system, and we're primarily focusing on rural areas. Another issue that plagues Tennessee, most acutely in the rural areas, is poor access to primary care services, which some would call the foundation of the healthcare delivery system. We simply do not have enough primary care physicians and other primary care health professionals in the rural areas in Tennessee. I understand you introduced a bill that's been signed into law by the governor to increase the number of primary care physician residents. Can you describe the problem that led you to introduce this bill and what you hope to accomplish?
I'll try to summarize this very quickly, but back in 1996, Congress froze the number of residencies that Medicare would pay for, because basically the residency spots were paid for by the federal government. They said, we're not going to fund anymore. So those were frozen. In the meantime, in Tennessee, we had our medical schools, and I'll run through these very quick, such as Vanderbilt, the University of Tennessee Health Science Center in Memphis, Meharry, East Tennessee State University, and also the osteopathic school that Lincoln Memorial University has. They started expanding the size of their classes so they could be graduating more doctors that could go to primary care. The problem was there wasn't any primary care residencies for these physicians to get the additional 3 years of training in either family practice or in pediatrics. And we even added psychiatry to that because there's a tremendous dearth of mental health care in these rural communities. As a matter of fact, we had so many physicians, Tennessee was paying to train these physicians and then having to export them to other states because they couldn't find residency spots in Tennessee. So what we did this past year, we are going to expand up to around 44 new spots per year. Now, it's a three-year residency, so the truth will be about 17 or 18 new physicians. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but we're going to start that pipeline. And over a period of time, we're going to have more and more family doctors that will be able to go out to the rural areas and establish their practices.
So how do you assure that they actually do that, that the family practice physician graduate goes to a rural area and stays there?
Well, there's one very innovative process that we're going to do, and there are only about five of those spots will be that way. But we're going to some of the smaller communities, very small communities sometimes, that have a hospital, and we may put one physician there in each one. I know like Huntington, which is a very small community, will have one. I think Carroll County, there's several around the state. we can't force, the physicians to stay there, but we do know that 80% of those physicians that do a residency in the state will stay in the state because they start to network with other physicians. They start to network with hospitals that can recruit them. So it's not going to be 100%, but we do know that if we have those spots, we can keep them in Tennessee rather than leaving Tennessee and going to other states and becoming primary care physicians.
Great. So that's an encouraging piece of the puzzle to bringing healthcare access to our rural communities. Many other states are addressing primary care access in part, one piece of the puzzle, by allowing nurse practitioners and other advanced practice registered nurses, such as midwives and certified registered nurse anesthetists, as well as physician assistants, to practice unencumbered by regulatory restrictions. Tennessee is one of the most restrictive states in the country, and these restrictions have not been shown to improve the quality of care or patient outcomes. So, do you anticipate this changing anytime soon to removing this barrier to care in our rural areas?
Well, you know, some of the first steps because of the COVID situation may have already been taken. And they always say that necessity is the mother of invention. And one of the things that Governor Lee did during the COVID crisis, and he did this through his executive orders, he removed some of those barriers that we had legally in the state where, you know, for instance, where the nurse practitioners and the PA could not really practice independently from the physician, but the need was so great during the crisis. And we really didn't know how severe the COVID crisis was going to be that he said that they can practice without having to meet all of these other requirements. And I do think you're absolutely correct, Carol, on that. There's been plenty of studies that have shown that the quality is still good. There's been some others that say that sometimes these practitioners order a few more tests. But, you know, really one of the main issues is the public ever put at risk? And that has been pretty clearly shown that the public is not put at risk. And we did have this trial during the COVID crisis, and I'm not aware of any serious problems or any, serious incidents that occurred that people said that maybe we shouldn't do this in the future. But of course, that's been very controversial. There was a little baby step taken in the legislature this year where they established a separate board for the physician's assistants. Previously, the physician's assistants were licensed by the Board of Medical Examiners that also licensed physicians, and they're going to have their own board now. So that was a little baby step maybe in that direction.
I'm Carol Myers from the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. It's my pleasure to be joined today by State Senator Richard Briggs. Thank you for being on the show and for your service to our state.
My pleasure.
To our listeners, all past episodes of Health Connections are available at the WUOT website for on-demand listening. And listeners' suggestions and comments are always welcome.